Comic Timing is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network.
Hey there, folks. My name is Ian Levenstein, and welcome to a syndicated episode of Comic Timing. Yeah, that's right. I stole something from John Mayo. What a shock. I actually have decided to syndicate an episode of Comic Timing. Now, what is this episode, you may ask? Well, it originally aired as The Quarter Bin, Episode 5. Now, The Quarter Bin can be found over at IndigoFire2525.libsyn.com. And it's a podcast put out by Brandon Christopher, who is the Indigo Fire on the CGS forums, and also he has been on Comic Timing once before on a previous episode. Go ahead and check that one out. And him and I talked for about an hour or so about anime and manga, and his show hadn't been out for a while. So I want to make sure that everybody gets a chance to actually listen to this episode, because I think it came out really, really well, and Brandon is a wonderful host. So here now is episode 5 of The Quarter Bin. And I hope you guys enjoy it, and an actual episode of Comic Timing will be coming really, really soon. Translation, pretty much right after I'm done watching Rescue Me tonight. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. So enjoy, and I'll see you guys later.
Show. I'm your host, Brandon. Alright, today we're going to start off with a little bit different. I know last time I didn't really stick to my format of the show, and I did with a digest format of books. And actually that got me thinking of other things around that size. Mainly anime, really. As you know, anime and manga are two varying art forms in America which have growing in popularity. And so, today I brought an expert on anime, Mr. Ian Levenstein. How are you, Ian?
I feel really good, and it feels really good to be an expert at something.
Well, you did host a panel over the set of...
Yes, indeed. Yeah, no, I do a couple of panels at anime conventions and stuff, but, you know, I'm a fan like everybody else.
Well, you probably have more experience than I do, though.
Well, nevertheless, though, thanks for having me on, buddy.
Well, no problem. All right, so pretty much... I have a couple questions here about things about related to anime, which people may ask when they first start reading manga and anime.
Okay.
First off is, well, what is anime?
Well, anime, in its simplest form, it's animation, just like anything else.
Okay.
The main difference between Japanese animation and, say, like American animation is most American animation has this social stigma that it's all for kids. While in Japan, they've sort of already sort of eclipsed that, mm-hmm. where it's not just for kids. Adults watch it, teenagers watch it, you know, girls watch it, guys watch it. There's so many different genres of anime out there that there's pretty much anything for anybody. It's not just like turning on Cartoon Network here and seeing, you know, something that's obviously made for a 9-year-old. Most shows are made for older audiences, or if it's made for a younger audience, you'll know right off the bat in anime. But it's for everybody in Japan. That's probably the best way to put it. So don't just look at it as something for kids. Look at it for something for everybody. And that's anime in a nutshell.
All right. Now, I've heard the term Japanimation. Is there any difference between anime and Japanimation?
Japanimation is... I guess the best way to put Japanimation is anime. It's just another term for it.
Okay.
When Japanese animation first came over to America, they thought the term anime would be too confusing for people, So they called it Japanimation.
All right.
And Japanimation in itself is sort of the bastardization of the term, because nobody in Japan would ever call it Japanimation. You know, that's like a product coming over here. I mean, that's like renaming, Rurouni Kenshin Samurai X. It's the sort of stuff that happens in sort of like an Americanization of the word, and that's where Japanimation comes from.
So it's pretty much apples comparing apples with applesauce, really.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Exact same product.
Okay. Well, you mentioned genres. My next question is, what are some of the types of genres in anime?
Well, it really depends on what you would consider a genre to be, because obviously, you know, there's action, there's adventure, there's comedy, there's dramedy, just like pretty much anything you would find on American TV, I'd say live action, okay. You can probably find in Japanese animation. Everything out there for everybody, basically.
So pretty much there's like a if you like CSI, there probably is an anime book or a manga book based off of that, correct?
Oh, definitely, without a doubt. And, I mean, I give you a good example here. For example, a lot of you guys have probably heard of this already, Monster, which is one of the best mangas out right now by far. This is putting it out there, doing an amazing job of it. I would probably compare Monster to something like, say, like a 24 meets ER. That's okay. Probably the best way to put it, because it's about... Dr. Tenma, who has a patient who eventually turns out to be, you know, he's this kid, and he turns out that this kid is basically a killer, and he's on the trail of him. Mm-hmm. So there's so much in depth and so much to talk about in there that it's certainly so many different genres combining into one. I guess that's probably the best way to put it. So it's hard to actually distinct. We put certain anime and manga into one genre. That's how many different stuff there is in Japan.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah. And plus, you've got stuff you've got your obvious like vampire shows, and you've got your zombie shows, and you've got your, you know, monster shows. You've got everything that you could possibly want there for anybody who's into horror or anybody who's into straight comedy also. Mm-hmm. Like, one of the best ones that I've watched so far is called Azumanga Daioh.
I love that.
It's terrific. It's sort of like the Japanese Peanuts. That's probably the best way to put that. You know, it's just following these teenagers around, these kids, while they're going through school, and it's hilarious.
Yeah. I really liked that one, only because it showed, I think it actually showed all 4 years of high school, correct?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, exactly.
And you actually see the characters grow and change with it. That's why I liked that one a lot.
Which felt so different than, say, and again, nothing against comics, but, you know, reading as many comic books as I do on a regular basis, you don't really see too much aging in comics.
Yeah.
You know, you'll see, like, maybe, like, 2 years over the span of 10.
Yeah.
In Azumanga Daioh, it's 2 seasons. That's it. In 2 seasons, you see 4 years. And it's amazing how much change these characters go through in that short span of time.
Yeah. It seems like nothing remains static in anime for long.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, even shows where there is no specific aging going on, there's still a lot of plot changing going on, mm-hmm. which is, again, why I would compare it to, say, like, the drama here in the United States, because, to give you an example here also, Helsing.
Right.
Not Van Helsing, that's something entirely different, but
yes.
Helsing is, you know, it's got the action, it's got the vampires and all that, but when you pick up the manga, or even when you watch the anime, you're completely involved. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to put your face away. It's like sitting down and watching an hour's episode of 24. When you're done, you're itching for more. And you got to wait for that more to show up. But once it does, you're happy you're sitting there again. So it really engages you.
So does anime really get the viewer involved? And is that the real purpose of it?
Yeah. You can't just sit down and watch an anime. Well, unless you're watching the dub, sometimes you can get away with it, but you can't really just watch an anime and do something else at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, anime is not really for, say, like, if you want to sit down and read your monthlies and, you know, watch, say, Samurai Champloo, I doubt you're going to catch every nuance that you would get if you were actually just paying attention to every word.
All right. I actually have an example that I was watching, Elfen Lied.
Okay.
And my friend showed me, like, the first 7 minutes of Elfen Lied.
Uh-huh.
And I was hooked from that moment on. And actually, we continued to watch the whole entire series that whole night long.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, we just had to go on. We just had to keep watching it.
Okay. You want to hear something that would probably scare most people? I watched all of Lane. Experiment Lane.
Wow.
I watched all of the episodes back to back to back to back to back with a couple of friends of mine,
mm-hmm.
and by the end, I don't even think we knew our own names anymore.
Wow, that's cerebral right there.
I mean, Lane is probably one of the most, mind-wrenching animes.
Yeah.
Is probably the best way to put it.
A little.
And to sit there and watch every LSD moment of that show. just back to back to back, you will not have a brain afterwards. But then again, think of it the same way as saying if you sat down and watched every single episode back to back to back to back to back of CSI.
Right.
You know, by the end, you'd be, wow, what did I just watch? You know, and you'd be trying to get all the information you can on it. That's sort of the same thing that happens here.
Yeah, actually, I read a few papers about Lane, and I got to say, wow, they come up with some amazing theories about that show.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Well, excuse me, 1 second. Actually, you know what? Let me go grab some water before I ask you this. 1 second, no, or else I'm gonna die. 1 second. Hold on.
No problem.
People who watched it, and me included, still don't know what was real and what wasn't in that show. So whether or not she was actually talking to God, whether or not, you know, the computer world coming into the real world was, you know, actually happening, or whether or not it was all inside Lane's head. And those are the things that you're going to be asking yourself over and over again, because there are no answers here. You know, you're not going to get anything. Even if you read the manga or if you read the anime, you're still going to be as confused, but probably in different ways. But you draw your own conclusions.
Really?
Yeah, and another great thing about anime is that you always end up drawing your own conclusions. It's like watching, say, like, for example, if you watch, Seth and I watch Heroes for the first time, okay? Uh-huh. And you watch the first 6 or 7 episodes, okay? Mm-hmm. And everybody else is ahead of you, but you have your own theories and stuff. And then by the end, most of your theories are either proved right or wrong.
Correct.
With anime, you can have theories that you get from the first 5 or 6 episodes that will still not be answered at the end of it. That will lead to a lot of existential thinking as to whether or not, you know, you're right, whether or not the creator was thinking something different. But you'll always have that nagging thought in the back of your head. What the hell was I just watching?
All right, so I guess you can say it leads to a lot of, not only just speculation, but a lot of, I don't want to say interactivity again, but at least a lot of, not intuitive thinking, but more inductive thinking for watching anime and reading manga.
Open-ended.
Open-ended.
Yeah, open-ended is the way to go. Because, again, a lot of animes do have actual, you know, endings, but then there are some where you're just left hanging and your mind can't stop thinking, what the hell is happening next in this world?
Yeah.
And that happens a lot. In some of the best animes I've seen, that happens.
Again, to bring up Elfenlied, that I believe Elfenlied's a lot like that, only because there was just so much going on at one time. It was almost like a sensory overload with the action in it,
oh, yeah.
And with the story in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, actually, the whole love story also, you didn't really know where that was going to go next.
Yeah, well, see, my problem with Elfenlied is that what I just talked about before about how, you know, you can't watch anime and do something else at the same time. I was running an anime club at the time when I watched Elfenlied. I was the president of the anime club at Brooklyn College at the time. And because of that, I was always running all over the place. I had to get stuff done at the bursar's office. I had to do this. I had to do that. And there were often times where I'd miss an entire episode and sit down and try and watch it. You can't do that with Elfenlied.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I got most of it, but there are still parts that I'm going to have to rewatch this one of these days to see whether or not I actually like it. Because from what I saw, it's... I don't know, it's engaging, but it's also what the hell.
Yeah.
You know? And it's one of those ones that'll be very polarizing. Because I know that my girlfriend watched it, and she hated it. But yeah. I know people who absolutely love the show. So,
yeah.
Go figure.
Oh, now, you spoke of genres. How do you really find a genre which really suits you?
Well, if you're a fan of vampires, watch a vampire anime. If you're a fan of comedies, watch a comedy anime. Just go out there and say, like, on Amazon, you know, you can do, like, genre searches and stuff like that. Just look for something that catches your eye. That's probably,
right.
If it turns out to be great, so be it. If it turns out to suck, just go on to the next one. And
well, I guess you really have to do your homework before you actually go on and do this.
Exactly. And, you know, good sites to find out, good reviews about things. Anime News Network does plenty of great DVD reviews, and they have plenty of great news on stuff in general. That's animenewsnetwork.com. And there's plenty of other websites also out there that you can get very thorough reviews of things before you go into it. But anime is also just about experimenting, because oftentimes you can just go into something entirely cold and come out better than you were before. You know, you'll be really happy that you sat down and watched this. And it's happened to me a couple times. I mean, when I first sat down and watched Hellsing, I had people telling me, you know, oh, it's great and all that, but I had no idea what the story was about. I'd never read the manga, and I absolutely loved the series. When I read the manga, I realized how different the series is from the manga. But yeah. That's another story for another time. The fact that it, the fact is, though, I got involved without even really knowing too much about it. So it can go either way, really. You can either just sit down and watch, or you could find out so much about it first and then draw your own conclusions.
Yeah, actually, that's how it was with my first experience watching anime. I think the first anime I ever really saw was Akira or The Ghost in the Shell. I don't remember which one I saw first, though, but it was, like, really my first time watching anime. I'm not sure if you remember this, but you remember when Sci-Fi Channel used to show anime?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, they used to have, like, an anime marathon once a week every year. And I woke up one time, like, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I turned the TV on and watched an anime. And I'm like, wow, what is this? This is, like, really different. Let alone I'm like 8 or 9 years old, and I didn't know what was going on. And I'm like, wow, this is really, really cool. And I was watching, I think, Gigantor the next morning. I'm like, wow, this looks really cool also. And that's really what sparked my interest in the anime.
Yeah.
It was not so much as doing your homework. And I actually just kind of accidentally stumbled upon it, though.
Well, I tell the story to a lot of people about how I first got into anime. I watched it without even realizing it was anime, just like you did. But when I first really got into it, I'd say it was actually my junior year in high school. I believe it could have been actually my sophomore year, but I remember I had a couple friends who were in the anime club, and they kept saying to me, "You got to go to the club. You got to go to the club." I'm like, "Yeah, sure, whatever. Likely story, whatever." And I was like, well, I didn't really know if it was for me, and they finally dragged me to one, and the first thing that they're showing is freaking Akira. All right, the first thing that they're showing. And this is an anime club, so they could have been showing absolutely anything, but I saw Akira first. And I'm like, I'm so engaged by it. I'm like, okay, this is so different than I thought it was going to be. You know, so different than the Sailor Moon and Dragon Ball Z I saw on TV as, you know, on 6 a.m. on WB11 in New York. You know, it's so different than any of that, that I have to look more into this. So then they showed Utena. I don't know if you've heard Utena. Utena is something in and of itself.
That question. Did you watch the OAV or did you watch the actual series?
Both.
Ooh.
Yeah, both.
Wow.
It is, pardon my French, it is a mindfuck.
Yeah.
And, again, it's a lesbian love story in so many different ways, and so many other plot twists going on in there. Again, one of these days I'll have to sit down and watch it again, because it's one of the first animes I've ever seen, so I'm not sure if I got the full scope of it, as it were. So I'll have to go and watch that again someday. But, yeah, we watched everything, including the movie. Yeah, the movie, that ending, what the hell is going on there?
It's like the $6 million car.
Exactly.
Which is pink.
I know. It's like they went through Pimp My Ride.
Literally. For those who have not seen the anime or the movie, Utena is about a young girl who goes to high school.
Yeah.
And she becomes a contendant for the Rose Maiden. And what happens is, every so often there, people who are contendants for the Rose Maiden have to go into duels. And so Utena wins her first duel pretty much by accident. And so she meets the Rose Maiden, Anthy, and they fall in love together. And at the very end, Utena is trying to escape the school. And she becomes Anthy's hope and dream, which turns out to be a pink hot rod.
I swear, you'd think you fell asleep in front of Jem.
Yeah.
It was just, it's just so 80s. And, I mean, that's what people's hopes and dreams are, a pink caddy. Oh, yeah. But from there, there were plenty of other ones, a lot of the ones that I can't even name, because, again, at this time, I was first getting into it, and eventually the president and vice president left, because obviously they graduated. And, this was my junior year of high school, because immediately after that, the first year, I'm just into it. The next year, I'm co-president / treasurer of the anime club, okay, with my one of my best friends at the time, Robert. And we would plan things and all that. It was much less formal than the later anime club that I was actually the president of. But we would, we'd sit down, we'd do like a viewer's choice, whatever people wanted to watch, we'd watch. Whatever they brought in, we'd watch, that sort of thing, and we had a good time. When I went to Brooklyn College, I was... and again, this is another what the hell moment here of how this actually happened. But I sit down and literally I become president without even asking for it. Because I had been talking to the person who was going to be leaving, and she announces in club, "Oh yeah, and acting president's Ian." I'm like, "Bleh? What? It would have been nice of you to actually say this beforehand. That would have been super." But, you know, that's it. But before that even happened, the first anime that got me into the college anime club, and again, I'm not making this up, the first animes that they're showing are Berserk, Battle Athletes. I don't know if you heard of that one. That one's a bit out there. It's about it's like this giant like athlete competition that's happening somewhere in like a moon or something like that. Mm. And this girl whose mother was a star athlete is trying to become a star athlete like her mother. Mm-hmm. And then they showed Evangelion. In a very, very small room, okay?
Oh,
in a very small room, there were about 20 people crammed in to this small room watching Evangelion.
Did they show the abridged or unabridged versions?
The original versions that came out.
Oh, God.
The original versions that came out, and obviously we ended with the movies, because you have to end with the movies, but the movies made the ending a hell of a lot more sense to me. That's all I have to say about that. But in general, ones that I came every week. I couldn't stop myself. I had to come every week. And, you know, I showed, once I actually became president, I showed things like Gungrave, Helsing, obviously, first had to be shown there. And Helsing's an interesting story. Because I don't usually like dubs that much, but you have to watch the dub of Helsing.
Yeah, I think I find myself with dubs, they're usually hit or miss. I think that ADV has actually really good dubs.
Yeah.
While other companies will just let it fall by the wayside and let anybody do a dub. Prime example, I was watching the dub of Yu Yu Hakusho.
Yeah.
The anime series has a fantastic dub.
Yeah.
I met the voice actor from the show, Justin Cook, I believe his last name is.
Okay.
And really phenomenal guy. He looks just like a hobbit. I kid you not, but you can tell he's an actual anime fan.
Yeah.
And same thing for I met Greg Ayers. Are you familiar with English dub actors?
Yeah, everybody knows Greg Ayers, yeah.
Yeah, but still, you know he's an actual fan of anime.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And you can tell that they actually enjoy their job and they take it very seriously. But I was watching the movie dub of Yu Yu Hakusho, and it was just absolutely horrible because it wasn't the same company.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, that'll happen. That'll really happen. But one of my favorite things about the Helsing dub is the fact that, and again, the main reason why I like this dub so much, and it's probably one of my favorites, is that they got actual Englishmen to play the roles. Now, now when you have a anime like Helsing taking place in England, and you have Japanese voices, it just does not feel genuine.
And yeah, it takes you out of it slightly.
Exactly. When you sit down and you watch the anime with the dub, and you hear these fantastic voices, the only English voice other than Jan and Luke Valentine is Crispin Freeman as the voice of Alucard, but it works.
Right.
And every voice in there just matches the character so well. Absolutely perfect. And in the OVA, what do they do? Even though it's Genion, because it's a different company doing it, but Genion brings back every single voice actor, except for the voice of Maxwell. That's the only person who's going to get a new voice. And everything, it just feels perfect, because you get the same people back into the TV series to do the OVA, and you have me sold.
Yeah. And that shows dedication to a title right there.
No question. That, without a doubt. And another example, Cowboy Bebop.
Mm-hmm.
That one, you can tell, they sat down and they wrote a dub script that worked.
Yeah.
You know, they found actors that really embodied the characters. Ghost in the Shell, Standalone Complex, another great example of that, where they got people who fit the voices and did it. Gungrave. Fantastic dub. But then you've got your stinkers.
Yeah. Actually, are you familiar with Ken Saban and Sayuki?
No.
That's an anime I always do love watching in dub, only because you can tell, again, they sat down and they actually took their time with it and they wrote a proper script that works.
Sure, yeah.
For those who don't know, when you dub an anime, you have to make sure that you have a proper time allotted for the words, only because some words in Japanese are very multisyllabic.
Yeah.
Pretty much, for us, saying hi is one syllable, but when you say Ohio Gozaimasu,
yeah,
in Japanese, it means hello, how are you, or good morning, how are you,
uh-huh,
that is like five syllables right there.
Thank you. And arigato.
Yeah, exactly. So you have to really time it out properly. And for a lot of animes, they'll bare bone it, pretty much.
Yeah.
They'll just get down what you need to hear, and then they'll add filler words in or take words out to make the timing correct.
Sure, yeah.
That was something Disney did with a lot of Ghibli films.
Uh-huh.
They actually took their time, and they rewrote the script out. First off, they translated it, and they rewrote it that way it could fit in properly, and then they dubbed it, they retimed it and dubbed it that way.
Yeah.
So, if you find a really good studio that does that, again, I said ADV does it as well, you will find out they have a lot better voice tracking and also a lot better voice acting. Prime example, like I said before, Greg Ayers has been in, like, 90 different animes in his entire lifetime.
Yeah, yeah.
Jason Douglas is another English voice actor. He actually was in Sin City. He was one of the hitmen who sent to kill Marv.
Really? Huh.
And he's done, like, I think, like, around 60 or 70 different anime.
Yeah, Crispin Freeman. Crispin Freeman's, he is everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, I mean, he does his Togusa for Standalone Complex.
Mm-hmm.
It's the voice I think of in my head. I've seen the Japanese version and the English version. His is the one I see in my head.
Yeah. And that's really that really is a good hallmark of anime, especially when you watch it in English dub, that you actually as you're reading the manga, you find yourself using that character's voice.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's how I feel so much about some of the great dubs I've seen. But there are some animes, though, I would never want to see dubbed.
Love, you know.
Love Hina, I have seen the dub for that. It's awful, but
yeah.
In general, even if it is a good dub, I never want to see the dub for Genshiken.
Really?
Because to me, and again, this is just personal preference here, but that's a Japanese, hobby club.
Mm-hmm.
They're Japanese.
Yeah.
You know, to give them English voices, just feels like it's just not the characters.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that they're sitting there in Japan, obviously Japan, you know, living the life of a Japanese otaku, and you give them English voices, what the hell?
Yeah, it takes you out of it.
Exactly.
Again, another anime like that would be like Comic Party or Comic Party Revolution.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, something you probably want to watch in Japanese only because they actually are Japanese manga artists and manga writers.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And again, it just brings you more into it.
Oddly enough, I actually liked, and again, I didn't expect to like it, but I liked the dub for GTO.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not sure why. It could have been the fact that Spike is Onizuka.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that he's in that, and the voice actor's name escapes me at the moment. He's like in everything. So
yeah.
Yeah. Actually, let me find this for my sake here.
Wasn't he also the voice actor in Big O?
Yeah, he was. Let me actually find it here, just for my sake here. Anime News Network. He has about four different aliases.
Yeah.
That's why it's hard for me to actually remember what the hell his name is off the top of my head here. Alright, let's see here. God bless you, Anime News Network. English cast, here we go. Yeah, David Lucas.
Yeah.
There we go. David Lucas, and again, he's known as many different names, but that's the voice of Spike Spiegel, of Mugen in Shampoo. He was in Wolf's Rain as well. I can't think of the name of the character he played, but he was in that. And he,
oh, Kiba.
There we go. No.
Yeah, Kiba.
No, Kiba was actually Christopher Freeman.
Oh, okay.
No, he was one of the guys trying to kill the wolves.
Okay.
He was one of the villains. I can't think of which one, though. One of the immortals. Yeah. And, he's been a lot of other great things, but he managed to do a great voice for these guys. And, you mm-hmm. know, that's good for him. He played other voices in it as well. And I think I liked it because of him. which is interesting, because I didn't expect to like that at all, because it's GTO. You know, it's freaking GTO. What do you expect the English gas to sound like? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much you go in expecting it to sound pretty much like crap, because they're not going to uphold it, but then like, you actually listen to it, and I'm like, wow, this is actually a really good dub.
Exactly, yeah. And I'm not one of those guys who goes one way or the other. You know, I'm not one of those guys, you know, except for certain exceptions. I'm not one guy who says straight up, oh, I have to listen to the sub, no question. Oh, I have to listen to the dub, no question. No, if the dub suits me, I'll watch the dub. If the sub suits me, I'll watch the sub. Because there's a different experience from both, sure, but depending on the anime, it depends on what you do.
So you're not an anime snob.
I'm not an anime snob, no. I don't like to consider myself that. And I know people who are, and, you know, more power to them on that, but there's certain shows that I just, in general, just, you know, just give it a rest. You know, if you want to go out there and own the anime yourself and listen to the Japanese audio track with the subs, go ahead and do so. I myself, for example, Full Metal Alchemist, I am totally subs on that.
Yeah.
Because the English voice actors are good, they're just not good enough for me. But I'm not gonna put them down for that. They tried their best. For me, that's my personal preference.
Yeah, there are some animes that wish work in dub, and there are some animes that wish work in sub. You know,
exactly.
You have to find a balance between the two.
Exactly, exactly. And that's what it's all about, finding a balance.
All right, now, let's switch gears a little bit. We talked about anime. Let's talk about a little bit in a manga.
Sure.
All right, so what really is manga, then?
Manga, all right, let's put it this way. You're reading comic, okay? You're reading a bit, you know, the typical size comic, all right? Shrink the comic size down to a digest size. Flip the art from the normal way that you would read it from, you know, from the front cover to the back cover, and read it back cover to front. Okay, then read from right side to left as opposed to left side to right, and you have yourself manga.
All right. Now, we've seen digest forms used a lot now. I believe DC just started a new line of digest forms. Marvel's been using digest forms for a couple of years
now. And DC
now.
Also has their own manga line with TMAX.
Yeah, actually, exactly. And so, really, digest forms, well, I should say now, things are becoming mangaized now, which is really getting yourself out in the forefront of comic books now. Like I said before in my last episode, I read these books in digest form only because, first off, they're available, and they were cheap, and actually they read a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
I think last time I read Aranya in digest form.
Uh-huh.
Which is a really good read.
I'm not sure if I've actually read that yet. I might have to one of these days.
It's not bad, actually. Yeah. I read Spellbinders by Mike McKean, which was surprisingly a good read in digest form.
Yeah.
And I read The Runaways in digest form also.
And remember, Spider-Girl got saved because of their digest.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess digest works in comics only because, first off, they're small.
Yeah.
Pretty much, you can give it to a little kid and put it in his backpack. They're cheap to make and cheap to buy also, and also really, I think they really do gear more of their books for younger readers in digest form, and I think that's a real good idea for Marvel and DC, only because right now the hottest thing for kids to read is manga. Right.
Oh
now.
Sure. Yeah.
I go to my Barnes & Noble in my store in Willow Grove, and like literally the manga section went from like. Four rows of 2 feet from to 2 8-foot shelves now.
Yeah.
Back to back.
And there's no more trades. They stick all the trades onto like one shelf.
Exactly. Like I believe all the trades are like now down to like four shelves, two for Marvel, two for DC, and the rest of all manga now. Which is kind of sad, but you know I think it's good only because now we're seeing a lot of Japanese culture get into America.
Well, it's funny how life works, because about 20 years ago they were bringing manga over and trying to make it comics. You know?
Yeah, like things like what was it, Wolf and Cub, Lone Wolf and Cub,
and also Ghost in the Shell when it first came out here. The Ghost in the Shell manga was, it was giant size, basically. You know, it was a regular size comic, and, you know, they made it left to right, and they changed the artwork to make it left to right as well. And also, you know, they just felt like, the Japanese would just be too hard to get onto. They felt like they would not be able to get people to read that way. It's not that difficult, folks. It really isn't. For people who say that, no, I can never read right to left, it's like, all right, maybe it's because I'm Jewish and I used to have to read Hebrew all the time, but it's not that hard for me. All right? Because, I mean, it's just, you know, hey, guess what? The word Vergoon's over there instead of over there. I get it now. Yeah. It's all clear.
It took me a little while to get used to it, only because I could read the panels right to left, but in my mind I would read the word balloons left to right.
Sure. Yeah.
And so that would confuse me up every once in a while. But now once I actually got the hang of it, it was pretty much easier for me to read from left to right.
Yeah. And
from right to left.
Exactly. Yeah. And again, once you get used to it, it's perfectly fine. But the digest form in itself in Japan, these, you know, manga-sized volumes that we're getting here come out after the fact. A lot of people don't realize that, you know, they originally come out in an oversized format, in a size that's even bigger most of the time than regular comics here, in a magazine format.
Yeah, it's actually around, I think, Prestige size here.
Yeah.
And actually, they come out in larger numbers over there also. They come in things like Shonen and Jump.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a really big one. I can't remember any other magazines like that, though. But they come out in large size, and then they get compressed down in certain volumes for the manga.
Yeah, yeah. And it loses some of the art sometimes. Every now and then you'll find a manga, a volume that seems to be shrunk, if you know what I mean. Like, there'll be certain parts that don't look quite right. Most of the time you don't really notice it, but every now and then you do. But the purists get their, you know, get these magazines delivered to their house for like $20 an issue, just to read that original one, even if they don't understand the Japanese, just to see what the art looks like. I know people who do that with Hellsing all the time,
yeah.
And it's ridiculous to me to pay that much money just to do it. But there are fans out there that will do that. But the main thing, again, it takes a while for these volumes to come out here because a lot of the times it takes a while for the volumes to come out there. Mm-hmm. You know, right now we're on. I Death Note is done there. Sure, obviously it's done there. It's been done there for a while. Here, however, you got to translate, you got to put it out. You got to translate, you got to put it out. You got to translate, you got to put it out. We don't usually have the luxury of having the entire manga be finished by the time it's coming out here.
Right, we're just a little bit. We're like a little bit, just a little bit behind now. I think we're getting to the point of it.
Yeah, Hellsing is caught up. It's actually caught up, physically caught up to what's happening on there. Just like what happened with the anime in the first place. That's why the last couple of episodes of the anime suck, because it caught up to the source material. We've caught up to the source material. And they just put out the most recent volume in Japan, which means we'll get that volume here in another 2 months.
Yeah, same thing with Naruto. I remember when I first started watching Naruto, which is around, I guess where the English dub is about now.
Okay.
We had actually caught up to that because they had actually taken off, I believe, for the summer, and then we caught up over that
okay.
break with the manga.
Yep.
With the actual anime
uh-huh.
release. The manga actually we're still way behind.
Okay.
And like, it was interesting that, you know. I remember you really shouldn't do this, but it was at the end the only time I get it. I used to download torrents of anime.
Oh, come on. Don't say the words, you really shouldn't do this, all right? Because everybody who watches anime out there has downloaded at least one torrent in their life.
Yeah, but I say that for the screws who want to set my shit down.
Come on, man. Nobody who's doing that is listening. And you know what? Honest to God, there are not many. And again, there's only maybe one or two companies out there that would actually give a damn. But most of the time, they just turn a blind eye to it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Specifically, if it's something that's not ever going to come out here. Because that's the only way you're going to be able to get it, is by the fan sub. So.
Like, example would be like Hunter x Hunter. I doubt that's going to be picked up anytime soon.
Although you never know.
Yeah. I know like a lot of shows have been picked up very quickly. Like Full Metal Alchemist was picked up very quickly.
Yeah, Death Note.
Death Note picked up after what, 6 episodes?
Pretty much, yeah.
Let's see, Naruto was picked up a little while, but they eventually was picked up. Full Metal Panic was picked up pretty quickly as well.
Genshiken.
What else was there? Actually, there is a whole entire site of anime torrents.
Oh, yeah.
And hold on, let me go to it real quick. And pretty much it lists animes until they actually are licensed.
Yeah, and there are certain companies that the minute that they're licensed, they have to immediately take it off because they have an agreement with these companies that once it's even licensed, even if it's not out yet, once the announcement has been made, they have to shut it down. That's it. I think it's actually Bandai. That's one of them.
Yeah.
I could be wrong on that, but I'm almost positive it's Bandai, and the other one escapes me at the moment. But there's definitely at least two companies out there that specifically go after people and say, you know, like send them, like, cease and desists. So,
yeah.
They're out there.
Let's see. Now, of course, and we know that manga is a book format, and anime is a television format, but really, what is another difference between those two?
Well, what's the difference between those two is that, like I said, a lot of the times they'll start before it's done, and you can see that a lot in anime specifically. And you can tell, I'll give you the best example in the world, and you know what I'm going to be talking about before I even say it, probably, Dragon Ball Z.
All right.
Dragon Ball Z has more filler episodes than anything.
Oh, God, don't get me started.
Naruto's getting close, but Dragon Ball Z has filler episodes. And you'll be able to tell, like, say, like, the barbecue episodes, that sort of stuff. You know why they're there?
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't have content. They were waiting to catch up to the manga. So that's something that you'll often see between anime and manga. Every now and then you'll see genuine story changes, because it just will not work in an animated form. But, and again, I'll mention Hellsing again. The last six episodes of that show are not the manga at all.
Right.
And yet, in the original trailer for Hellsing, they show, you know, the major from the manga clapping his hands,
mm-hmm.
but you never see him in the anime. Because they never got to it. That's it. It's as simple as that. They never got to it. They didn't even have enough material to do that, so they just made up this crappy incognito guy and stuck him in there. Dragon Ball Z. The planet Namek will explode in the next 5 minutes. Find out what happens in the next 10 episodes, what happens in the next minute of the planet Namek exploding in the next Dragon Ball Z.
Dragon Ball Z was like, it was like a half hour for a Kamehameha.
Exactly.
God.
Exactly.
Next
yeah.
Man.
Exactly.
And it just got to the point where it became a joke,
yeah.
really. I think actually it wasn't until almost the very end of the series, around the Buu saga, really, that's when it really started to pick up, and they actually stopped doing a lot of that.
Yeah, well, and here's something a lot of people don't realize, Full Metal Alchemist, the anime, the ending to that is entirely different than the ending to the manga.
Yeah.
Because the anime caught up to the manga, and as opposed to doing filler episodes, they decided, let's do it our way. And then they
went on to the movie.
Yeah,
now.
Exactly. And I mean, it's entirely different from that point on. And you know, there are people who prefer the anime. There's people who prefer the manga. But you're going to get different stories out of both of them. And I guess that's a good thing in some aspects, because you know, people will find the manga, and they'll be like, "Well, this isn't what I watched at all. What the hell is going on here?" And every now and then they'll say, "Wow, this is better." Every now and then they'll say, "This is worth." But they have both to actually look at, which is kind of important.
Now, speaking of being entirely different from the manga to the anime, I hate to bring it up again, but Love Hina was just like that also. Not only was the voice dubbing horrible, which I can't stress enough, but it took a major turn with the story.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, it was just really the small things in the story which took me out of it more. Prime example, for those who don't know Love Hina, it's about a young boy, a grown-up named Katara who couldn't get into college the first year. So he's forced to become a Ronin, which is a person without a school, for 3 years straight. And on his third year, he actually inherits the Hot Spring Hotel, the Hina Village Inn, from his grandmother. And so pretty much it's just his adventures living with, five or six other girls as their landlord.
Yeah.
It's pretty much like Tenshi Muyo, pretty much. But in the first episode, you meet a young girl named Shinobu, who actually is a resident of the Hinata house. And in the anime, she is not really a resident there yet. Her parents have yet to be divorced, and in the manga, she's been living there for many years. Oh yes. All right. Now since we're talking about manga. About 5 years ago, Marvel released something called the Marvel Mangaverse. Now, was that really a manga?
You know, see, that's where the distinction between manga and non-manga becomes very blurred, because a lot of people say anything with a Japanese style is manga. Well, meanwhile, all manga means in general is the word comic. That's literally what it is in Japan. Manga means comic. That's it. But to me, you have to be from Japan to truly be a manga. I mean, you could try and be a manga, but you know, then you're just using a Japanese style. So I felt like, to me, Marvel was using a Japanese style. They want to call it a manga, sure, because that's what most people know it as, so be it. But it wasn't true manga to me.
Yeah, actually, there are a lot of artists who have been influenced by Japanese style. For example, Joe Madureira from Marvel, way back when writing X-Men in the 90s. He had this beautiful Japanese style of artwork with vibrant colors and unique expressions and characters and faces that really pushed Marvel to the front. Same thing for, like, Paul Pope. Paul Pope is definitely a Japanese-influenced artist.
Yeah, and you know what? I thank and shame Joe Madd at the same time, because him bringing in that Japanese style was great and all, but now way too many people are trying to ape Japanese style when a lot of them really shouldn't be, because they're not getting any true style of their own in the process. You know, they're trying to look like people that they might like in Japan, but in the process they're losing any sort of artistic integrity or, I guess, creativity they would have had otherwise.
I hate to say it, but for a little bit of time, Jim Lee did the same thing. Jim Lee now, I think he's kind of refined his style now. It's definitely a signature style of Jim Lee, and you can tell it's Jim Lee. But way back when he started with Image and started with doing Wildcast, way back when, you could tell that it was definitely, he was ripping off of anime styles.
Oh, yeah. Well, and again, also, comics in general sort of go through this phase of, this style is hot, let's do that. And for a while, the Jim Lee style was hot, so everybody was drawing like Jim Lee. For a while there, you know, the Japanese style was good, so let's all do that. And guys like Ed McGuinness do it great, because they sort of merge a Japanese style with their own unique, you know, cartoonish style, and it works wonderfully for them. So, again, more power to them. It's just, there's way too many people out there who just think, if I draw with big eyes, people won't like me.
Okay.
All right, you good?
Yep.
Okay. So, yeah, and, again, I mean, I like the Mangaverse for what it is. I mean, I like the Spider-Man idea that came out of that. The Avengers were kind of cool, and the Iron Man as, like, a giant mech.
I love the Avengers idea. It was awesome.
Yeah, and, again, Iron Man as a giant mech, I'm all for that also. And Hulk as, like, a Godzilla thing was pretty cool. But it's just aping their style. They call it Mangaverse. That's different than manga right off the bat, because nobody calls manga a Mangaverse in Japan.
Yeah. It's just manga, because it actually imitates their own life.
Exactly. And, I mean, I guess the one thing that's actually close to being, you know, manga-verse out there is, you know, all those dudes out there with their Cardcaptor Sakura and all the other guys that are created as one, as it were, in the whole Tsubasa universe. You know, Clamp with their little universe in there. But that's not a manga-verse, that's just a Clamp-verse, or whatever you want to call it. So, Marvel does their own thing. Everybody else does their own thing. So be it. If they want to ape a Japanese style, great. But it's not true manga.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Now, also, as you know, a lot of people have a bad reaction to anime only because of certain facial expressions or how characters are drawn. Prime example: some people don't really like. Well, I know some people who actually watched Teen Titans cartoon really didn't like the chibi style of the characters.
Uh-huh.
And for those who don't know, chibi style is when a character becomes either super deformed or really cute and small randomly and out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Now, is that inherent to all anime, or is there some anime which actually foregoes all that?
Well, there's some anime that has absolutely none of it, obviously. I mean, Ghost in the Shell standalone complex. You're never going to see a chibi Ghost in the Shell standalone complex character.
Yeah.
I mean, the closest thing you have to something like that is the Tachikomas, but they're cute in a good way, mm-hmm. You know? And I was one of the guys who didn't like the Teen Titans, you know, Super Deformed stuff. It's only because I thought it looked terrible.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like it was completely out of place, and they were trying to force it a little bit. But the actual Japanese stuff, you know, it could be very amusing at times, and you either like it or you don't. It's an acquired taste, as it were. I'll give you, there are moments in Hellsing where they go super deformed, but it's very, very humorous to me. Other people might think differently, but to me, that's my sort of thing. So you're either going to like it or you don't, but don't shut off all anime thinking that all of it's like that, because it ain't the case.
Yeah. My favorite expression is the intersection. The throbbing vein in someone's forehead.
Oh, God.
It literally looks like a crosswalk.
Yeah, well, you got to get the Third Avenue somehow, so.
Oh, jeez. And I think that the only reason they use a lot of different facial expressions is only because, first off, they want a humorous reaction from it.
Uh-huh.
Prime example would be like character like Ed from Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah.
You know, really cute and cuddly type of character with the really rosy cheeks, and then she'll go all wiggly and wobbly out of nowhere.
Uh-huh.
Doing that, she's either hungry or she has a crazy idea.
Well,
and
No, I was just thinking in my head. I mean, just and not to cut you off or anything, but how is this different than when Bugs Bunny's eyes bug out?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, this is all just—it's a style choice.
Yeah.
That's all it is. As opposed to eyes bugging out or like steam coming out of the head, they go chibi or they go wobbly. You know, it's just—it's all animation style. That's all it is.
Hmm. Yeah, I remember on when Teen Titans first came out, or actually when Legion of Superheroes first came out, the cartoon. And people on the Comic Geek Forum were really against it because it wasn't exactly what they wanted.
Yeah.
Same thing for like the Batman when that first came out. People were really opposed to it only because the art style was completely different.
That's not why I was opposed to it. this is exactly why I'm opposed to it. And you can call it art style if you want, but well, Bruce Wayne is not Jackie Chan.
Yeah, the bat foo had to go sometimes.
I know, yeah. I mean, the fact... All right, okay, all right. And again, we'll go for maybe like about like 10 more minutes, because then I got to get some sleep, man, all right? I got work tomorrow. All right, I mean, my problem isn't really with the fact that it's Japanese looking. It's the fact that Bruce Wayne looks like freaking Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, that's all well and good that the Jackie Chan people did this, but learn how to draw somebody different.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it looked way too the same as it were. So I love Jackie Chan Adventures. One more thing, you know, it was a great show, but just it was not what I was expecting out of a Batman show. So that's the way I'll put that, I guess.
I think actually it's gotten a little bit better now. Now that you don't see Bruce Wayne as much, you see a lot more Batman.
Uh-huh.
And they included Robin and Batgirl in the show now. I think it's gotten a little bit better, and they've toned down the Bat-Foo. I mean, like the Joker will still fight. Like that picture about the first of the Joker was like, you know, using freaking karate out of nowhere. Same thing with Penguin.
Yeah,
I'm glad they toned that down now.
Well, my problem with the show also, and is the fact that they put a moratorium on the Batman characters.
Yes.
For JLU.
Mm-hmm.
So all we saw was like one like throwaway Easter egg shot of Nightwing on the roof of Bloodhaven.
Yeah.
That's the only time we actually got to see a Batman character, except for the Clock King.
Mm-hmm.
Who was an actual Batman animated series character. But, again, this is a completely different show for a completely different time. Again, they're trying to go for a Japanese style there. They have actual Japanese animators in that as well, so that's kind of why it looks a bit Japanese. But it is what it is. You either like it or you don't.
Right. All right. Let's kind of start wrapping up things up now. Ian, let's go ask you a personal question. What's your favorite anime?
My favorite anime. See, that's a good question, because I might have to actually go by genre here, because I have way too many. Let's put it that way. I guess favorite comedy would have to be Genshin.
Mm-hmm.
only for the fact that, like I said, it felt like I was watching me. All right? The Genshiken Club, their club room looks so much like the sci-fi club at Brooklyn College. It's ridiculous. They have the exact same room, I swear to God, but some of the exact same members, too. But it was very fun. I really, really enjoyed the show. Favorite action? Helsing.
Mm-hmm.
Helsing OVA. Because, again, that Helsing itself is the series I really enjoyed, but already the Helsing OVA has eclipsed it with the first two episodes. The fact that the two episodes of the Helsing OVA are the first six episodes of the Helsing series says something right there.
Mm.
That they just were sort of like churning their wheels with it with the show. So, I guess you could call that favorite horror. Favorite action would be Standalone Complex.
Oh, okay.
That's just great stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Again, Bebop, Shampoo, those are all in there as well, GTO. And favorite holy shit insane, Cromarty High School.
Cromarty High School with Freddie Mercury.
Exactly. I mean, seriously, when you have a show that has freaking Freddie Mercury, a talking robot, and I forget, was there a monkey or a bear?
Gorilla.
There you go, a gorilla. You know, I mean, what else could you ask for?
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, it was like watching one giant LSD dream. That's probably the best way to put that. I mean, favorite cutesy would be Azumanga Daioh. That's just adorable. And, yeah, I guess that's really all I can say for those. Favorite manga? That's a bit easier, because I have to say by far my favorite manga is Death Note.
Okay.
Death Note's just terrific.
Yeah. Actually, I've read Death Note, and it is fairly amazing.
Yeah, I'm halfway through Volume 9, and once I get done with that, I'll actually buy Volume 10, so...
Okay. Alright, last question. Are there any licenses that you like to see as an anime? Whether they be video game or other?
Well, this is a pretty easy question. Devil May Cry.
Ah, yes.
I want to see Devil May Cry anime, and I want to see it now. I mean, Dante just lends to anime so easily. There's already a manga. You know, there was already a two-volume manga that they made. Give me some Devil May Cry anime, and I'll be a happy man.
What, no Phoenix Wright?
Oh, well, Phoenix Wright would be absolutely brilliant as an anime, but I don't know. I mean, you might be able to pull that off, but it'd be really difficult to actually get that going. I'm a great fan. I'm a huge Phoenix Wright fan.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, to the point where I might actually be cosplaying Phoenix Wright at an upcoming anime convention. So, my plan is to actually go to the Anime Parliament. And the minute that a case is brought up, scream out objection,
oh, God.
and be the defense for the defendant.
Who would be your Edgeworth?
Actually, from the looks of things, my girlfriend is probably gonna dress up as Von Karma.
Oh God! I hope the female Von Karma.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Von Karma with the frickin' whip? Hell yeah.
Oh, jeez.
But I would like to see that as an anime if they actually have the chance to make it. And actually, Onimusha.
Mm.
Onimusha would make a decent anime also, so I guess those are my three picks there.
Okay. Hopefully Onimusha without Jean Reno.
Hey, I like Jean Reno, man. That was awesome. That was totally awesome. Jean Reno. I mean, come on.
The French got it out of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. That's what I liked about it. But the one thing I didn't like about it, though, is the fact that they had somebody else dub his voice in English. That was so ridiculous, you know? The fact that it was, I don't know, how are you? And then, hello! You know, it was messed up because this dude speaks English! Jean Reno speaks English! And you don't have him to voice it. It was nuts. But the Onimusha dubs in general are terrible. Jubi Yagyu of the Yagyu clan. I mean, come on.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
All right, Ian. Always a pleasure, sir. I'm told you have a podcast, sir. Where can we find that at?
Podcasts. I never heard of them, actually. You can find Comic Timing over at speakgeekspeak.com/comic timing. I just actually recorded the third Rogues Gallery, which is finally going to be released, with Damian Smith of Cryptographic. He's going to be doing a nice little history on the Shade from DC Comics, and that'll hopefully be out sometime this week. And we're going to have our 300 review with Raph, Spano, Brent, and myself, which I'll be actually recording tomorrow, so that'll be out soon. And hopefully a new GeekSpeak report coming soon. So once I have the time to do that, I'll record that also, speakgeekspeak.com.
Wow, you really are the podcast pundit now, aren't you?
No. The podcast pundit is still John Mayo.
Okay.
John Mayo is the podcast pundit, all right? He's everywhere, and he always will be. But one more thing I want to mention. I might actually get an anime report out eventually for CGS. Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe, just maybe, because it's been a while, and it's about damn time. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, wonderful. All right, once again, the show's been brought to you by Brave New Worlds, located at 212 Northeastern Road in Willow Grove, your one-stop shopping for all your comic book, gaming, and manga needs. Stop by on Tuesdays and Thursdays for their magic drafts. Ian, sir, always a pleasure having you on the show.
Hey, great to have you on, buddy, and whenever you want to pop on my show, the more the merrier.
Thank you, sir. Once again, this has been The Quarter Bin, where we ask, what's in your long box?
So there you have it. There's episode 5 of The Quarter Bin. Once again, you can find The Quarter Bin over at indigofire2525.libsyn.com. And you can find all 5 episodes over there. The other ones are more comic-oriented. He has one on Young Justice that was really, really awesome. So go ahead and check out his podcast. It's a lot of fun. And I thank Brandon once again for having me on the show. And I hope to have him on Comic Time again sometime real soon. And make sure to comment on the forums about this episode, as I would like to see what you guys think about me syndicating my other appearances on the show, whether or not it helps you guys out at all. So I definitely want to find out what everybody thinks about that. So yeah, that's pretty much it here. The email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at cgspodcast.com/forum. You can find both the forums for The Quarter Bin and Comic Timing over at cgspodcast.com/forum. And they're graciously hosted by the Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com. Please vote for us on Podcast Alley. The links are in the show notes and on the main page. And please dig us over at dig.com. It's graciously appreciated, as always. So, once again, a thank you kindly to Brandon for letting me put this on my feed. And thank him once again for having me on the show in the first place. Hope everybody enjoyed it. And as always, there's always time for comics.